Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served the Valley for decades. You need to have a great relationship with your insurance agent. And these happen to be the best people to go with, without question. Purdy Insurance, auto, home, life, business, they cover a wide gambit. They get you the best insurance, the best price. And if something happens, they jump right in there with you because they're your partner in this. It's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motor Studios mobile today in Brooklyn, New York, where Penn State plays in the Legends Classic tonight against Pitt at 9:30 with a 9 o'clock airtime. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You want to make it a great holiday? Buy a car. Sunbury Motors, exactly the ones to deal with. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Saints dramatically come back and in overtime beat the Washington Redskins.
Horsted puts it down. Lutz has it on its way. And the Saints win. Will Lutz buries the field goal, and he's mobbed by his teammates out at midfield. An epic collapse by the Redskins and an epic comeback by the Saints results in their eighth straight victory.
Jim Anderson, old friend, with the call on the Saints radio network in overtime yesterday, and that was a tough collapse for the Redskins, Sean, and that was a great win for a Saints team that plays really good defense, has really developed an excellent running game, and when they need him, they have Drew Brees. Pretty good combination. All right, the Eagles were great again last night, especially in the second half, running the Dallas Cowboys out of Arlington. With that, we are joined from Philadelphia by KYW Radio, and that is Matt Leon. Matt, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, let's see. That was a performance. I don't care if Zeke Elliott's not playing or not. How impressed were you by what they did last night?
The defense played well throughout. And the first half, after an opening drive, it was probably about as poor as the offense played. I thought the second quarter may have been the worst quarter Carson Wentz has played in the NFL. But in that second half, man, once they started to drop the hammer, they just rolled right through Dallas. They made Dak Prescott look incredibly pedestrian, really throughout the game, but especially in the second half. That game went from hand wringer to victory cigar really, really quickly last night. And when they start running downhill, they are tough to stop now.
They sure are, and no Jason Peters on that left side, but sometimes when you start doing well and make plays, players gain confidence. Is that what we're seeing on the left side right now, that they're gaining confidence on that left side even with Peters out because they've been performing well?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the things is you heard so much about the Cowboys' problems at left tackle with the injury there and how they're getting beat time and time again, and they would show replay. And there was no discussion about Halapulivahti Baitai with the Eagles on the broadcast last night, except for to show the one trap block he made that sprung Ajayi on that long 71-yard run. He's playing really well. The whole offensive line is playing really well. And I think confidence throughout, and, I've brought this up with you a couple times, I think regardless of how far this season goes, when they write the history of this season, the flashpoint's going to be that game against the Giants where Jake Elliott hits a 61-yard field goal as time expires. As I think they got a whole new level of confidence and realized they got away with one, and they haven't looked back since. That really, I think, was the moment this season started to take off.
It's amazing. And then last night with concussion, because of concussion protocol, they had to keep going for 2 points last night.
Yeah, and got 3 of 4 and should have been 4 of 4. And Zach Ertz fumbled at the goal line on a play that was there. And what's amazing is, you know this, with two-point conversions, usually teams have 2 or 3 plays they use because they don't use it very frequently. So they've got 2 or 3 plays. To have that type of success, you know, in a game like that where you go for 4.5 and, you know, make 3 and should have made 4, they just another idea they had all things cooking last night. Because, yeah, when you're coming out of the third quarter and you hear that Elliott's not going to be able to kick anymore, you think they could really be in trouble because to that point it looks like it's going to be kind of a grinded-out game. And all of a sudden, if you can't kick field goals and you have to start going for it on 4th and 7 from the 25 and stuff like that, that things can spiral out of control quickly. But that's just the type of season it's been to this point. You know, you lose your kicker, and a lot of times that's a problem when it happens in-game. You know, all it does is it probably pads the score by an extra 3 points because they had to keep going for 2.
Is there any word as to whether they're going to sign somebody else or they're just going to wait with him?
Well, he's in concussion protocol, so it's still up in the air. They have Caleb Sturgis on IR, who okay. got hurt earlier this year, and when they brought Elliott in, Sturgis is still on IR and eligible to be activated. But Peterson indicated today that Elliott, if healthy, is the guy. So, you know, if it comes down to he's ready to kick on Sunday, they would probably eventually move on from Sturgis in the next week or two. But they do have a built-in replacement on the roster. It would take some roster mechanics, you know, in the short term. They probably have to, you know, waste or burn a guy on the 53-man to have two kickers, you know, on the 53 for that week. But that would be the answer for that. But they're also not ruling Elliott out for this weekend. So it's still in flux, but I think they've got the option. The option B is already in-house.
It's amazing they just about have it clinched before Thanksgiving. I mean, think
just
about
as
that
we thought back in August when we talked, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, let's be honest about it. We were the only two that had it pegged this way.
Yeah, and I mean, no question. I mean, it is something.
How amazing is that?
I think it's incredibly amazing because I thought 9 wins was high watermark. I honestly did. I thought they were a 500 team. I thought they'd be fun to watch. I thought they would play a lot of games that would kind of go back and forth. Because I obviously undersold the defense as a unit, and I thought the offense would be ascending with the Wentz, obviously. But I thought they had the offensive line, you got to remember, wasn't great last year. Now, a lot of that was because Lane Johnson was suspended much of the season, but it was up and down last year. You didn't quite know what you had in the running game, you know, which is amazing to say now, you know, 3 months later, that, you know, that the running game was uncertain coming into the season because you signed LeGarrette Blount as a late free agent, and everybody was wringing their hands wondering, well, if he still had it, New England would keep him, and why was he still available? And you had an undrafted free agent in Corey Clement, and you lost Darren Sproles early in the season. Now you look, with adding Ajayi and what Blount's done and what Clement's done, you know, they ran for 215 last night against the Cowboys and with 3 different guys, you know, rolling in there. It's really amazing. So I never anticipated that. I thought the secondary had a lot of questions even after they acquired Ronald Darby. And then when Darby got hurt week 1, I thought they were really in trouble in the back end. That group has turned into one of the best in the NFL. They ball hawk now. 3 interceptions of Prescott last night. They score a defensive touchdown. It's really stunning. I did not see this happening. I honestly probably could have written you 50 scenarios for what the 2017 season would look like, and none of them would be have them 9-1 at this point with the 1 seed in the NFC.
Right, and then 1 loss is at Kansas City.
Right, and a game that they had in the 4th quarter.
I mean, and this is when Kansas City was hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they play Kansas City right now. They probably win by 3 scores the way things have gone for both teams.
No question. Was it Denver next?
No, they next up they play the Bears. And this will be interesting because this screams, you know, trap game or at least sleepwalk coming off the big Dallas win. And after this Bears game at home, they go at Seattle and at the Rams. So you've got that looming, and you've got a rookie quarterback coming in. I'll be very interested to see how they come out in this one, to see if they're able to take care of business. Because to be fair, they can probably be flat and still beat the Bears at home. But it'll be interesting to see if they come out, put this one to bed early, or if they let the Bears hang around and it becomes a problem into the fourth quarter.
Yale won the Ivy outright, beat Harvard on Saturday. What's the future for Penn football?
I think it's pretty bright. They beat Cornell to finish the season on a four-game winning streak. Every team probably could say this, especially in the Ivy League this year, but they were two or three plays from being right there with Yale with one loss in the league. It'll be interesting to see where they go with quarterback. Will Fisher-Colbert, who did a pretty nice job this year as a one-year starter, getting his first action as a senior. They have two young kids, a freshman named Ryan Glover and a sophomore transfer, Nick Robinson, who both got some action this year. And they will fight for the starting job. And it's interesting, Fisher-Colbert got a little banged up and actually struggled against Cornell. And he was pulled in the fourth quarter, and they put in the sophomore, redshirt sophomore, Robinson, in a game that Penn was losing by a point. They put him in on his own three-yard line, and all he did was lead a 97-yard drive for the go-ahead touchdown. So if you're looking for a springboard into next season, that would be pretty good. They got a lot of talent coming back. They're loaded in the backfield. A lot of kids that have played a lot of snaps will be seniors next year. So there's a lot to like. But the whole league's really taken a step forward this year, and I think that's going to be the case here going forward for a long time. But this is a league that, for the most part, is going to be five or six deep. You're not going to have the two or three weeks that you play a team that you can beat even with a mediocre performance. You're going to have to bring it every day as the talent level has really risen in the league.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com to discuss Penn State football. We're in Brooklyn today, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Great to have you with us here on the show today. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com in the next half hour. And we'll discuss Penn State's game Saturday with Nebraska and then look ahead to Penn State's game at Maryland coming up on Saturday. That will be a 3:30 kick. We'll be on beginning at 2 o'clock on Saturday. So we've got 9:30 tonight with a 9 o'clock airtime with Pitt. And then tomorrow it's either Texas A&M or Oklahoma State here. And then Friday it's Oral Roberts at 3 o'clock, 2:30 the airtime. Then Saturday back to football with Maryland at 3:30 with a 2 o'clock airtime. And the goal was to keep me off the streets. So they've done that. It's all good. I mean, Sean, that's a big part. I mean, if they can keep you off the streets, that's great.
Wild and crazy.
Oh, absolutely. So you're saying that today is Bill Hillgrove's birthday, huh?
The legendary voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, of course, you'll be sitting not too far from him tonight in the Barclays Center.
I saw him in the lobby. So, I mean, congrats. Congrats. Matter of fact, it is. Bill is 77 years old today. How about that? 77 years old. Well, happy birthday to the great man. He and I had a good time after the Penn State Pitt football game. He stopped by Ron Moeller's tailgate with Jack Ham and me there, and he was going to Cleveland to do the Browns game, and of course he's worked with Dick Grote on basketball forever, and so it's 77 today. I'll be anxious to see him tonight and wish him a happy birthday. He's a good, good guy. Great guy, as a matter of fact. A couple of years ago, I had a chance to meet his wife. I met his son, his grandson. I mean, just really good people. And, of course, New York's very special to him because 10 years ago, 10 years ago next week. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame as the winner of the Chris Schenkel Award. How about that? And Bill deserves that very, very much. And it was, in fact, Joe Paterno went to the Hall of Fame that night. And it was a night where Joe went into the Hall of Fame. Rocky Blyer was honored as the Distinguished American. Roger Staubach and Pete Dawkins were the co-recipients of the gold medal. And Bill went in as the Chris Schenkel Award winner 10 years ago next week. So good for him. I'm thrilled for him. He was the 11th winner of the award that time. And so, you know, talk about deserving it. What, 47 years of doing pit games? He's missed only, what, one broadcast? Of course, he, you know, with Pitt football, a, you know, Pitt basketball, the Steelers. And it's interesting that Chris Schenkel was always described by people as a very humble, down-to-earth guy. And that's pretty much Bill. So, it'll be good to see him tonight. Good to see him tonight. And then with Dave Hunsinger. Remember Dave Hunsinger? We had him on the show in August, the Oklahoma State play-by-play guy. He's mm-hmm. here tonight, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, it'll be good to see Bill tonight. It'll be a good game tonight. Pitt's a young team trying to find itself right now, which is what Penn State was last year. Last year, Pitt was the veteran team. They started four seniors. Penn State, of course, was starting freshmen. Well, now, even though Penn State's players are now sophomores, you know, Reeves is a junior, Carr is a sophomore, Stevens is a sophomore, Watkins is a sophomore, Penn State's the older team. And the best all-around player for Pitt probably is their 6'9 forward, Ryan Luther, who is really a good inside-out player. Really good inside-out player. And they'll have to deal with him tonight. But Penn State's done a good job they've been getting better and better as time goes, which is obviously a big plus. But at the same time, you're seeing them play with a little more maturity. This will be a plus for them. Obviously, to, you know, this is the best team they've played so far. This is a game they really need to win tonight. They really need to win the game tonight because this is the kind of game where it tells you what kind of progress you've actually made. Is Pitt an awesome, great team? No, they're not an awesome, great team. But you're also playing a team from the ACC that has some ACC talent, and you're playing them on a neutral court. It doesn't really matter what the name of the jersey is. It doesn't matter that it's Pitt. I mean, Penn State fans will get all, you know, will obviously, it's a big deal when it's Pitt football, but it's never really been a big deal to them, and it's been Pitt basketball. So this is more just about that label of an ACC team that you're playing on a neutral court, team that, I mean, Penn State has not beaten Pitt in basketball since 2001, and that's the year Penn State went to the Sweet 16. In fact, it was December of 2000. It was in the Jordan Center. Penn State, I think, won the game 88-74, something like that. So whenever they played Pitt, they have not been able to get over the hump against them. In some of those games, Pitt dominated. Well, tonight Penn State would be the favorite going into the game, and they need to play like that tonight. It'll be at 9:30 tonight. It's the second game. 9 o'clock will be the airtime. First game is Texas A&M and Oklahoma State. What's interesting with Oklahoma State and Texas A&M, they're getting players back tonight. Jeffrey Carroll, who had been suspended the first three games for Oklahoma State because he was caught up in that FBI investigation. Because remember, Lamont Evans is now gone off the Oklahoma State staff. They were directly named in the FBI probe, as was Evans. Well, Carroll has now cleared everything. And because he has, he'll be able to play tonight for the first time. Robert Williams was suspended for the first two games by Texas A&M. And he is, you want to talk about an NBA talent. He is an NBA talent. And a lot of people thought he should have gone out last year to enter the NBA. Didn't. Now suspended the first two games this year. He's one other player for Texas A&M that's suspended for four games. So he's going to miss this tournament because Texas A&M played that opening game with West Virginia at Ramstein in Germany. Well, they've only played one other game since because it doesn't make any sense to be playing games right away after you make a trip overseas like that. So they played on Friday night, so they've only played twice. All right, next half hour, final half hour, BenJonesStateCollege.com. Looking forward to that. We'll talk with them about Penn State football. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. Find out why. I'll tell you why. They're the best in the business. Speaking of the best in the business, Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows it's the holiday season, and you need a dependable vehicle, but also need as much money left in your pocket as possible. Let's be honest. If somebody gives you way too much for your piece of junk trade or cash just for buying a car, who do you think is paying for it?
You are!
Come see why SMC has been selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Pick from over 100 2017 Ford F-Series trucks. Priced as low as $24,997. Choose from 42 2017 four-wheel drive Escapes slashed as low as $19,975. At SMC, take $3,500 off all remaining 2017 Ford Explorers and get 0% financing for up to 72 months. Don't believe everyone else's hype. Sunbury Motors always gives you huge discounts, aggressive trade values, and the best financing options. And with over four city blocks of new Fords, they have what you're looking for. Sunbury Motors Ford in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades and have done so brilliantly. Auto, home, life, business insurance. And they find you the right insurance at the right price every single time. They want to make sure it fits your budget. They also want to make sure you're covered. I mean, that's the big part. And they do that. And if there's something that happens to you, they're your partner, they go right to work for you. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, will be joining us in a few moments. Jim Mora fired as the head football coach after 6 years at UCLA. Tom Bradley, of course, will end up being a casualty in all this. Jed Fish will be the interim head coach at UCLA. They do need to win one game to be bowl eligible. So let's see if that comes to fruition or not. USC beat them the other night. The more you watch Sam Darnold of USC, the more you think that he should stay in school one more year. Man, does he have happy feet out there and is not the best decision maker. Wow. How about that play at the end of the half? Okay, either throw the ball away or get out of bounds. Don't try to dip inside and see if you can score a touchdown. You can't do it. So, the more you watch and the more you think, another year would not hurt number 14 at USC.
I think the same would probably go toward Rosen at UCLA, too. Wouldn't you think?
Well, here's the difference between Rosen and Darnold. Who's Rosen's offensive coordinator next year if he's at UCLA? Who? I mean, does he have to learn an entire new system? I mean, who's the head coach? I mean, do they keep Jed Fish as the head coach, or do they make a change and just cast everybody aside and bring in a new head coach, which means a new coordinator. I mean, that's part of it too, Sean. I mean, you know, how many systems is the guy supposed to work in? At least with Darnold, Darnold pretty much knows he'll be working in the same system unless T. Martin gets hired by somebody. And let's face it, you hear the name T. Martin, what do you think? Could he be a candidate at Tennessee? Remember, it was T. Martin that led Tennessee to the national championship, not Peyton Manning. So it's, I think part of that's going to figure in for each guy. Who's their coordinator? Who's their coach moving forward? All right, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Penn State goes out on Saturday. Five straight times they put a touchdown on the board with a drive. Six straight times Nebraska had a three and out. Ben, you watched it play out. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw more or less the Penn State team that you knew you could get. And I think for the first time in a while, you saw a Penn State team that was having fun on offense. I think they've scored their points the past few weeks and, you know, through a lot of hard work, I think, a little bit. But for against Nebraska, you kind of saw them airing it out and having what just looked like fun. You saw the Penn State team that you're kind of used to seeing. So I think, you know, between that and then, you know, Nebraska's not particularly good at any one thing on offense. They can throw the ball pretty well, but they weren't able to do it consistently against Penn State. I think you just saw Penn State with a good curtain call at home. You know, people are going to talk about that fourth quarter, but I think ultimately there's not really much to get upset about. So I think, like you said, those touchdowns all in a row, the three and outs all in a row, you saw that Penn State team clicking at a high level. Like, you know, I think we all know that it can.
For you in watching, I mean, the fourth quarter is something obviously the coaching staff is going to look at because there's a lot of real-time evaluations that they can get of players in a situation like that. But what did you think in watching that yourself?
You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, Nebraska's first team offense going up against Penn State's second and third team guys that, you know, don't get first team reps, don't get the same amount of work out there. And frankly, I mean, you know, it's not anything against them. I'm sure they're all going to turn out to be good players for Penn State. These are guys that are just not quite as good as Nebraska's first team, and they're still in that stage of their development where they're getting better and better. They're going to have a whole summer and a whole fall and spring to figure things out. So I think, you know, certainly, you know, much like the preseason for the NFL is a good time for evaluation, that I'm sure Penn State's coaches got a lot of valuable feedback over that span. But, you know, I don't think it's an indictment of anything other than, you know, Nebraska kept their first team out there and Penn State had guys that just don't get the same amount of reps out there on the field. So certainly, you know, it leaves that kind of sour taste in your mouth, I think, if you're a fan because of what the final score was versus how that game really played out. But I think ultimately, you know, with the amount of time that they've got left to develop before next season starts and they all have to step up into bigger roles, you know, I have a hard time getting too, you know, putting too much stock in any one thing that happened over that 15 minutes.
It was a downhill day for Saquon Barkley. He gained 158 yards, and he literally gained 158 yards. He was not thrown for a single loss in the game. What did you see up from Saquon?
You know, I think you saw Penn State winning in the trenches, and you saw, I thought Saquon ran with a bit of a purpose. You know, not that he doesn't run with a purpose normally, but I think he just looked like a guy who was on a mission. Obviously, that 65-yard run helps things out, but I think, you know, they had kind of alluded to the idea that this line was going to play better and better, and they did, and they finally sort of got that chip off their shoulder a little bit, played a little bit more physical in the front, and I thought Saquon's ability to run downhill was, you know, very good for Penn State's offense, and, you know, Penn State fans might feel like it's a little too late, but ultimately, you know, when Saquon Barkley is able to get three touchdowns, run for over 150 yards, Penn State's going to have a good day, and they did.
Were you there in the press gathering when he talked about the bowl game?
I was. I was there amongst what we will call a mosh pit of media people surrounding him.
What did you think when he talked about it?
You know, I mean, I think that's the kind of guy that Saquon has been over the years for Penn State. He's very team first. He plays for his teammates. You know, obviously when you get to that point when you're four quarters away from making millions and millions of dollars, you know, I think his teammates wouldn't blame him if he said, you know, I don't want to risk an injury and I want to, you know, have my career be over right now at Penn State and go to the NFL. But I think, you know, ultimately he's a guy who has said all along that, you know, if you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. And that's just how football works. And he's going to play as hard as he can for as long as he can. I think it's newsworthy and surprising in the sense that, you know, no one would blame him if he didn't play in the bowl game. But at the same time, I think that Saquon has always been that kind of guy that's put his teammates and his team ahead of himself. And because of that, you know, to hear that he's going to play in the bowl game, and sort of how he talked about it sort of unofficially, you know, sort of implied that that would be his last game. I think ultimately that's the kind of guy Saquon's been from day one. So it makes sense that he would be that guy at the very last.
We saw Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey not do that a year ago. What did you think when they decided not to play?
I think the biggest difference for both of them is I believe they're both coming off of injuries. So there's that sort of, you know, you want to rehab and go into the draft process as healthy as you can be. So, you know, because of that, I don't necessarily blame them. Obviously, you know, I don't know what the numbers are statistically in terms of your likelihood of re-injuring yourself after an injury. But, you know, I think in those circumstances, people, you know, there's always going to be fans that want their favorite player to play in every game. There's going to be people who criticize them.
Ben, when you look at Maryland coming up this week, what are a couple of initial thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for Penn State to finish out the regular season strong. It'll be interesting because for as many times as Penn State has now played Maryland in the Big Ten, it'll be the first time they've done it at College Park. I think all those things, you know, in a row, it's a good opportunity for Penn State to go into the bowl game, go into that bowl break on a high note, and I think they probably will.
All right, general impressions, college football nationally. What are a couple things that have stuck out to you in the last couple of weeks as you've watched it?
I just think you've seen that there have been a lot of really good teams, but nobody has necessarily dominated. I think, obviously, Alabama has played very good football all year long. Ohio State's played pretty good football this last couple of weeks. But I think, you know, you watch the Notre Dame-Miami game and you realize that, you know, there's a lot more parity, I think, this year, just in terms of, you know, anybody that's in that top 10 can really beat anybody else in the top 10 every year and sometimes every week this year. And I think there have been years in the past where you've got top 10 teams, but really the gap between number 10 and number 1 has been, you know, wider and wider. And I think this season you've seen, you know, that there's really not a big disparity between, you know, the Penn States in the world and you know, maybe the Clemsons and Georgias. I think it's going to make for a really good bowl season because I think you're going to see a lot of matchups that are going to make for good non-playoff bowls. And because of that, you know, I am probably more than usual looking forward to seeing a lot of these games that aren't playoff games because I think, you know, much like the Rose Bowl last year that wasn't in the playoffs, you know, Penn State and USC gave us probably one of the better, if not the best, bowl game of the year. So I think because of that and because of the parity, it's going to be a lot of fun this next couple months.
Penn State is only going into its third cycle of 85 scholarships being available for James Franklin to recruit. It's only the third one he's had since he's been there. He's coming up on his fifth year. If they can win Saturday, it would be back-to-back 10-win seasons. Does it put it into context what they've been able to accomplish here or not?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, you look at the fact that Penn State over the years has not been able to do the back-to-back 10-win seasons. I think it would be the third time they've done it since joining the Big Ten.
Yes.
I think ultimately, 10 wins is always kind of like college basketball where you get to 20 wins, you feel like you've done something good for yourself. I think 10 wins, in college football is kind of that high watermark in terms of you were doing things right. Right now, and I think ultimately you figure where the Penn State football program was when James Franklin got here and where it is right now. I think it might have been, you know, equal parts harder than he thought it would be to get Penn State back up on its feet, and at the same time I think they might also be, you know, ahead of schedule in terms of where they thought they might be at this point. So I think, you know, it is without a doubt, even if Penn State fans are disappointed that it looks like Penn State's not going to make the playoffs this year, at the end of the day, when you've got back-to-back 10-win seasons, when you've got two straight seasons of being undefeated at home, when you're a top-10 team, you're basically to finish out the year, probably, they've got a good shot of finishing out the year top-10 team 2 years in a row. There are very few teams in the country that would turn that opportunity down.
So even though there might be a little disappointment, I think at the end of the day, if you're a Penn State football fan, you've got to be pretty happy about the job that James Franklin's done so far, and certainly what it looks like they've got ahead of them down the road in the future.
Ben, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve.
Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We'll come back, wrap it up from Brooklyn in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Wrapping it up here in Brooklyn. First game is Oklahoma State, Texas A&M. And then the nightcap is Penn State and Pitt. And matchup tonight, the winners go to the championship game, which is what, 6 tomorrow, Sean? That sounds right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 6 o'clock would be a 5:30 airtime. We would have Lee Stout and Dr. Harry West on the show tomorrow between 4 and 5 tomorrow. Johnny Holiday tomorrow, sound right? 3:35.
That's what we're shooting for. Yep. Cannot wait for that.
So now if Penn State doesn't win, then we're gonna have to shift everything around.
Yeah.
Then Zach Schauer's coming up on Wednesday. On the Sealands Grove matchup with Bethlehem, was it the Bethlehem Catholic? Does that sound right?
That is correct. Yep, they took out Valley View Friday night.
Yeah, the Cougars gone. All right, so they've done that, and that will be a Friday matchup. By the way, after playing on Saturday, they'll play on Friday. They beat Bellefonte 37-3 on Saturday. And Penn State is Maryland coming up this Saturday. It's a 3:30 kick. It's on BTN, by the way, just so you know. And the airtime will be 2 o'clock for the Dietz & Watson tailgate show, so we will do that. So we got a lot going on. Big week, Thanksgiving week, of course. I guess there was a note sent out to the entire staff that we're supposed to stop by the suits office and say thanks. That really isn't what we consider to be the meaning of the first Thanksgiving. I mean, seriously, Sean, think about it.
We're thankful for the suit.
Well, that didn't sound that sincere. You know what's funny about that? Is that Wednesday, he has all the time in the world, he's going to show up at Maddie's.
Right before you said that? He just walked in.
I don't understand why nobody's here.
He did have a reason for stopping by, so.
Well, he's supposed to hand his resignation to Mark, isn't he? Just kidding.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Let's have a little fun here. Steelers. Who do the Steelers have next?
Steelers next.
Oh, yeah, Green Bay.
Sunday night,
yeah,
Green Bay.
Green Bay Sunday night. Yeah. Because Jack and I have been going round and round about, you know, me going on Sunday night because that's the night he's being honored. He and 24 others. Now, you notice their Hall of Fame thing. It's going to be, it's all of those who have gone into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's why, when, for example, and we're going to honor Kevin Green, you're like, okay, really? You try to think of some other Steelers that may have been a little bit, you know. Okay. But he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so they have to honor him. So that's what they're going to do. And that will be coming up on Sunday night. Jack will be one of them. But they'll have 25 guys out there to see Brett Hundley and the Green Bay Packers. No offense, but now you're watching so many quarterbacks there. You know, an NFL owner could have avoided a lot of trouble for the entire league if they just said, look, you know what, let's just give Kaepernick a shot. If he can't play, he can't play.
I mean, you're telling me Nathan Peterman, that Kaepernick couldn't have done better than that performance? Really? You're telling me watching Brett Hundley week after week, watching him not improve, and he has not improved, that Kaepernick couldn't have stepped in and helped him out a little bit? At least he knows the speed of the game. Oh, well. They've made their choices. Kaepernick made his choices, and the league owners have made their choices. Pretty simple. Because so, this does come down to ownership. This is not a GM thing.
Yeah. So the reason why this suit came in, he wanted me to let everybody know we had Coach Joe Susan on hour number one. Simeon Page from the Bison selected as the Stats National Freshman Player of the Week for his great performance at Fordham. And one of the calls that Kevin had during the game after a sack, he made a 007 James Bond reference. License to Kill. I think that was the movie reference that he gave. Yeah, that was it. He wears number 7.
Isn't it supposed to be about the player?
Kevin could have sworn that was the point.
Isn't it supposed to be about the player? I played football too back in the day. Saquon Barkley, finalist for the Maxwell Award and the Doak Walker Award. And Mike Gesicki's been selected as a finalist for the Mackey Award. I made these great calls the other day, Sean. Unbelievable.
I heard
around these two guys.
I heard them all.
It's really incredible. Yeah. He's throwing his hands up in the hallway, isn't he?
Yeah. But no, great calls always by you and Jackos on the way home Saturday afternoon after the run of the Seals Grew game over on 94KX. And
I thought that was a joke. Because we just did the thing about 007 License to Kill. It wasn't just that the player got national recognition, it's that Kevin announced the player.
They got national recognition.
I think when they heard those calls, it put them over the top. All right, back in Brooklyn tomorrow. You'll either hear me doing basketball at this time, or you'll be hearing Lee Stout and Harry West and Johnny Holiday, followed by basketball. That's how it works. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.